Pretty incredible. Pretty incredible. Hey guys, if you want to get your outlines out, did everybody get outlines? Yeah, we must have run out. You can ride on something anyway. I ain't got too many fill-ins, but have you ever worried? How many people in here have ever worried? Nobody else has ever worried? I think this is probably going to be for all of us, whether you're admitting to have ever worried or not. One of the things I've come to about worry is worry, probably more than anything else, has the ability to rob us of our joy and rob us of our peace. But you know, it's amazing what we worry about. And after it's all over, you look back and go, why did I even worry about that? We worry about the future. Oh, yeah, if some of you guys are worried about filling in your blanks, I'm going to go, it ain't going to bother me at all as long as you don't say nothing to me when you come up here and get this. They're right there. But we worry about the future. See, there's a man that admits his weaknesses. I got to fill in a blank. Thank you. We worry about the past and I've talked to people that worry about when things change, and then they also worry about when nothing changes. I've met people that worry when their boss wants to talk to them, but they also worry when the boss don't want to talk to them. I just kind of think sometimes we need to fill our minds with all kind of things just to worry about. And some of the things that come across my desk or even at my house are just laughable, what we worry about. And some, you know, are pretty serious. But even when you and I are following the Lord, there's some things that we spend more time worrying about when we should be spending more time worshiping. Just some things we need to do that. We need to come to the point where if we worship more, because I want to tell you, this is something that I've learned. If we worship more, then we're going to spend a lot less time worrying. So today I want to give you some hope. Before you leave today, I want you to have hope. And these are through some lessons that I've learned and some experiences that I've gained, how to let go of worry. And I want to look back on a certain experience in my life and a trial through a circumstance, a storm. Because I believe in these storms that God is involved in what's going on in your life and in my life. He is involved. I've also learned that this is true, that God is never surprised by anything that happens. He's never surprised. He didn't say, oh, I didn't know that was going to happen to you. Oh, I didn't see that coming. God is never surprised. And I've also learned that God is never afraid of any of the outcomes in your life. He's never fearful. The Bible tells me in the book of Psalms that when I commit myself, my way to the Lord, that He directs my way. He directs my steps. And I've committed my life to the Lord, so I believe what it says. I have made a choice to take God at His word. What I believe is either true or it's a lie. And I choose to believe that the word of God is true. And that God is involved and He knows what's going on. He's in control. He's making a way for me. He's making a way for you. I believe with him in control, I have his favor. You have his favor. But above all, he will be glorified in this. He'll be glorified in whatever you're going through. That I'm just going to trust him. And I'll try and follow him as best as I can. Now, sometimes I've found that I myself just won't cut the rope, so to speak, that keeps me tied to the dock. And what happens is God sends a storm to get me out to the sea. So I caution you never to look back at what you once were, especially when God wants you to become something that you've never been. Don't keep looking back. Don't keep looking back. Just know that God is involved. And when God wants to do something new in your life, he first has to take you out of something old. Don't keep looking back. Sometimes, like me, he may drag you out of that old kicking and screaming because you're comfortable in the old. It's what you're used to. And there ain't no way that you're going to cut that rope. So sometimes God sends a storm. But I found a new favorite verse this week that I wanted to share with you. And it's at the top of your outline for those of you that have an outline. If you don't, mark this down. Nahum 1:3b. The Lord has his way in the whirlwind and in the storm. And the clouds are the dust of his feet. Now, if we are to believe that the clouds are the dust of his feet and the storms and the whirlwinds are beneath his feet, we have to make a decision. We have to choose that. We have to choose to follow where he's going. We have to choose to follow the dust to where God is going. We have to choose not to fight it. If God's bringing you into something new, we have to choose not to argue about it, not to be kicking and screaming. The Bible says, be still. Be still and know that I am God. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean be quiet. I mean, it don't mean be quiet. What it basically means is this, and the only way I can explain it is don't freak out. Don't freak out. When you commit yourself to the Lord, he's going to close some doors. When you commit yourself to the Lord in his ways, he's going to open some doors. And I want to tell you, when you don't have the courage to go through them, remember that he is in control. Now, when I face new doors and new opportunities, I always say, God, I'll go through it. And here's what I know. No longer is it my problem. God, it's your problem now. And it helps relieve these fears and these doubts. When I finally commit that to him and say, not my problem, God, it's your problem. It's a decision that you and I have to make every day, to worry or to worship. So instead of asking God to take away your fears, worship him. Worship him as your provider. Worship him as your comforter. Worship him as your healer. Because these new opportunities are a great opportunity for God to show himself to be true to his word. Lots of times when I would worship, I'd worship after he got me out of trouble. But what I found out after 20 years as your pastor almost is that I need to worship while I'm in trouble, while I'm in the middle of the storm. Because if I just worship after the storm, that's just gratitude. That's just what I'm thankful for. But if you worship in the middle of the storm, that's faith. And of all I want people to say about me, and I want people to say about you, he is a man of faith. She is a woman of faith. That's one of my desires as your pastor. Because the Bible says without faith, it is impossible to please God. I want us to be people of faith. But now I say that, and I don't want to sound like I'm tooting my own horn. Because worry is an old enemy of mine. And it'll really show up every once in a while. And I looked up some definitions of worry. Tenacious. It's one described it as a dog gnawing on a bone, causing distress. So my question for you today, that I need you to answer for yourself: are you worried about something today? Has something got a grip on you? Is something strangling you? That was another definition of worry. Has something kept, or is something keeping you up at night? Did something keep you up last night to where you can't sleep? I even believe that maybe that's why some of you came today. And if so, I hope so. Because I believe that God has something to say to you today. And I want to begin by reading a kind of a long passage, Matthew 6, 25 through 34. It says, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Birds. I love birds. Because to me, birds are a constant reminder of God's faithfulness. I mean, really, have you ever seen a worried bird? I've never seen a worried bird. I've been watching these birds, and they had babies. And I couldn't think of what you called baby birds this morning, but it hit me in between services, chicks. But I had we have some chicks under our roof, under our porch roof. And I've been watching them for a good while now, and four of them are being fed. And I noticed the other morning, I said, them birds ain't worried about nothing. I have never seen a worried bird. And so when I think about these birds and worry, I realize worry is not really the issue. The real issue that you and I have is trust. Trust is the real issue at hand. Worry is just a distraction. Worry is just a decoy. Our real issue is trust. And God is saying in this verse, this passage, do you trust me? Do you trust me? Are you sure? So I looked up the word trust, and it has several meanings. Write these down here. This is some fill in some blanks if you guys got your paper. Trust, one of the meanings is this: to allow someone to do something without fearing the outcome. To allow someone to do something without fearing the outcome. And so God has a question here. Are you going to let God do what he wants to do and not be afraid? Are you going to let him do it and not be afraid? Psalm 56:11 says, in God I trust, I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? What can man really do to me if my trust is in God and not in work and not in people? Then the second definition that I looked up of a trust is this: to run into a shelter. To run into a shelter. What I liked about this was not a passive attitude, but it was an active attitude. Trusting God is active. It's not just saying it. It is running into something. Psalm 27:5 says, in the day of trouble, he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in a shelter of his tabernacle. Then the third meaning that I come up here with this is this: to rest your mind in the faithfulness, reliability, integrity, or friendship of another person. To rest your mind in the faithfulness, reliability, integrity, or friendship of another person. Do you know what rest means? It doesn't mean take a nap, although that's what I plan on doing today. Rest means leaning, to lean on something. Resting, that's what I'm doing on this stool. I'm trusting it to hold my 165 pounds up. On its firm foundation. I hope the Lord don't knock the leg out of me from lying. But he's saying, rest your minds. Lean into the Lord. Look at one of the most, you probably have this on your refrigerator. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And lean not on your own understanding. What he's saying is lean on the Lord. Lean on his understanding. So when God says, do you trust me? You and I have to make a decision. Am I going to let God do what he wants to do and not be afraid? Am I going to hide in him? Am I going to run to him? Am I going to lean the weight of my life on him? Am I going to rest my family, my relationships on God? Am I all in? Am I all in to trust him with my heart? Not your mind, because sometimes your mind don't know what to think. This is a hard issue. Let me tell you something else about trust. And I think this is worth writing down if you're writing something down. Trust is not rational. Trust is relational. Trust is not rational. Sometimes it don't make sense. It is relational. So trust in the Lord, not some idea. Trust in the Lord, not a person. Sometimes it does not make sense to trust the Lord, but it's relational. What I come to finally when I get to that point, I say, God, I don't understand it, but I do understand you. I understand how much you love me. I understand how much you want to prosper me. I understand how much you want to provide for me and comfort me. So I don't understand everything that's going on, but I understand Creator. And here's what I'd ask you to do. I'm going to ask you to do this again. I ask you to do this all the time. Every time God takes care of you, every time you're in a trial, every time you're in a problem, every time you're in some tough way, write it in a journal. Then I want you to write how God brings you out of it. When you write a journal like that, what you're doing is you're, pardon the pun, but you're building a trust account. You're adding to a trust account. Isaiah 26:3 says, "You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you." Write this down. If you want the perfect peace of God, then you have to trust the God of perfect peace. Amen? That's good. If you want the perfect peace of God, then you got to trust the God of perfect peace. If you don't trust him, then you will not be at peace. You will not be at peace. Whose mind is stayed on you, you will get that peace. And I looked up that word mind in several different Bible things. And in this verse, the word mind, he's not referring to logical and the problem-solving mind. He's referring to the mind here being, write this down, the imagination. The imagination. You know why? Because during tough times, during circumstances, during whirlwinds, during storms, your imagination is what goes wild. You ever notice that? It's your imagination that goes wild. It's your imagination that keeps you from thinking clearly and on a rational side. You start becoming filled with what ifs. What if this happens? What if this happens? I used to tell my kids, you need to quit worrying about that. It hasn't happened yet. It hasn't happened yet, but our imagination will take us there. So when those things begin to form in your imagination, in your mind, you take that to the Lord. Take it to the Lord, submit it to him. 2 Corinthians 10:5 on the back of your outline says this: we take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ. You take that imagination captive and you give it to Christ. Your imagination will run wild with all kinds of fears and worries. Bring them to the Lord. Submit them to the Lord. Lord, what do you say about this? Lord, what does your word say about this? The last time I was really, really, really worried was 2.5 years ago. One evening I was coming up the driveway and my phone rang. And it said, "Is this Mr. Jimmy F. Pinkard Jr.?" I said, "Yes." He said, "Well, this is Corporal So-and-so from the Georgia State Patrol. Do you have a son named Luke Holland Pinkard?" I said, "Yes, sir. What's going on?" He said, "Is your address 53 Oak Grove Road?" I said, "Yes, sir. What's going on with my son?" He said, "Well, your son was involved in an accident, a very severe car accident. He has received a head injury, and he is on his way to Floyd Medical Center." I said, "Is my son alive?" He said, "He was when he left. That is all I can tell you, Mr. Pinker." When we got there, Luke was in a coma. He's paralyzed. This is my only son. I was scared. The neurosurgeon came out and he said, "I can't tell you much, Mr. Pinger. We don't know until something changes. We don't know until he wakes up or moves or something. We just don't know." He said, "I'm going to go in and do a test. Then I'll be right back out and maybe I can tell you something." He went in and I heard him. He said, "What's his full name?" And I told him. And he went and just hollered, "Luke Pinker, do you hear me?" And I thought, well, he must know my son. No, I didn't think that at all. I thought that afterwards. But Luke didn't hear him. He didn't respond. A lot of people came that night to the hospital and the ICU. They put him in ICU, and he was still in the coma, and he still wasn't moving. Everyone left, and Angie and I were spending the night, and I couldn't sleep. I filled with worry, fear. Somewhere in the middle of the night, I began to get up and walk around. My imagination was wrecking me, man. It's, what if he never walks again? What if he never wakes up again? You know, what if he dies? What are we going to do? What am I going to do? And I got in the hall, and I asked God to help me. I said, God, I don't know what's going on, but I put my trust in you. The Bible tells me you are a healer. And I ask you, God, to heal my son. And I walked on back there and to ICU, and the nurse was with him. And I walked up and she said, Mr. Pinkert, I think Luke's beginning to stir. And I said, well, can I ask him something? Can I talk to him? She said, oh, sure, talk to him. See, here's the thing that I do with Luke every night. The world, and even folks in the church had told him he wasn't a good boy. I want him to hear from his dad that he was. So every night, even until last night, I tell Luke, you're a good boy, Luke Pinkert. And his response to me every night is, you're a good daddy. So I leaned down, and when he was in that coma, supposedly, and he was beginning to stir, I said, you're a good boy, Luke Pinkert. Without opening his eyes, he said, and you're a good daddy. I began to cry, and the nurse was crying, and I looked up at her, and I said, he's going to be all right. Now every time I look at that big old scar on the back of his head, I remember that God is faithful. I remember that I was scared, and God took that away. I remember that I worried. God said, don't worry. I remember that God was in control. I remember that when I'm worrying, I have to change the way I think. I have to fix my thoughts on God and not on the fear. Write this down. When you fix your thoughts on God, God fixes your thoughts. You see, now when I look at that scar, I remember to fix my thoughts on Him, on God. It's a big reminder for me, especially the way He cuts His hair now. When the accident first happened, I didn't have that perfect peace. But I did a few short hours later. So I ask you again today, as I'm finishing, what are you worried about today? What are you worried about? Is it a man that you're looking for 20 years? Is it a job? Is it your health? God has provided already ahead of you what you'll need. You want to take time today to fix your thoughts on Him, like I had to do in that lobby of that hospital. Fix your thoughts on Him, not the problem. What's keeping you up at night? Something keeping you up at night? I believe that's the reason some of you are here. You got something keeping you up at night. But I want to tell you, as your pastor and somebody that loves you, that based on the authority that God gives me and His Word says, God will not abandon you. He will not abandon you. Whenever you have an opportunity to worry, take that as an opportunity to worship. And don't focus on the problem. Focus on the Lord and worship Him. Let's pray. Father God, I thank You. I thank You today for a scar as a reminder. And Lord, I'm praying for some folks today. They've been standing up all night. They've been trying to fix things all themselves. They've been thinking about them, and they've been worried. They're not resting on Your understanding. Lord, help them today know that You're there and You want to do this. You're involved. But they got to lean on Your understanding, even when it doesn't seem rational, that You're involved and You want the best for them. I thank You for a scar to remind me that no need wasting time worrying. It doesn't add anything to my life. That I will trust in You. I love You. And I thank You. I can't say how much I thank You. It's in the mighty name of Jesus that I pray.